Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I don't fancy myself as an air raid guy, and I don't fancy myself as, you know, playing, you know, triple option or wing D. I mean, you want to be balanced, and sometimes it's week to week matchup. I mean, what you don't ever, regardless of what your philosophy is, you become one dimensional in any circumstance. You're going to make life hard on yourself, especially in the NFL. And if you had, you know, overwhelming talent, this was the 1970s, and put, you know, 135 stars on scholarship and you're just bludgeoning people. Yeah, that'd be one way to do it. I mean, you're looking for to be efficient, you know, explosive. They may come in the run game or, you know, run alerts or...
At 4:15, time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings during our PM Team Friday tailgate. It is our hour with Steelers Insider from the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali, brought to you by Icy Light. If you're enjoying an icy light or another drink, you can tell us about it on our YouTube page or by texting the show.
You calling Arthur Smith Mr. Perfect? What do you call that?
Do you think Arthur Smith knows about 80s and 90s pro wrestling? Like, will he run you down and be like, man?
Well, didn't he go to school at Carolina? That's the hotbed.
Arthur Smith looks at
him. Hotbed of what? Of wrestling? Pro wrestling?
Yeah, Ric Flair and all that stuff. That is like a hotbed.
Do you think Arthur Smith knows who Dusty Rhodes is?
Oh, absolutely.
But I think Arthur Smith, if he does know it, would be too proud to admit it. I mean, think of some of the other things he tells you guys to look up, World War II people and all that stuff. He would think pro wrestling to be beneath him intellectually. He and Aaron Rodgers, if they're hanging out just not talking football, they're making like a ship in a bottle or something like that.
first of all, Arthur is offensive line, so he got part meatheadism.
Wait a minute. How can you say that? All I ever hear about is that the smartest players on the team are the offensive linemen.
Yeah, half smart, half being a meathead. Yes, you have to have that balance.
So you have to be willing at any point to go... Like, so here's what we got to do. Trap block here, cut block here. Duh! Nerds!
Slide the line here and let's just go run our head into somebody's 400-pound body.
Okay.
Meathead.
All right.
Mark, you know what's really scary when you think about it? The Steelers in practice and training camp couldn't run the ball against their own defense. And everybody runs the ball in the Steelers defense except the Steelers offense. We've not seen them look good running the ball at any point since they came together. And you wrote that in some of your columns for Twitter, and it's been true in games. So when is it going to change? Sunday?
First, they have to really highlight Jalen Warren. I think this other...
Kenny G
and his sacks needs to just do what Kenny G does and do some third down conversions here. So I think... they got semi on the right track last week of at least giving Warren the ball. And it seems like how they're talking, they realize, you know, maybe he is our best guy, which I don't know why it took 2 weeks to be able to do that. So, you know, sometimes that outside scheme, outside zone is very finicky. You have to be really decisive when you're running. I don't even know if they even got to that point yet. Where I've seen them any of those outside zone
run. They keep trying to run up the middle, and those middle, the guard and guards and center aren't opening any holes, it seems like.
It's hard. It's hard for those guys. There's a lot of junk between the hashes, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of people in that spot.
It's hard to move them over. It's not hard for other teams.
But is it because they're starting on the outside of the tackle and cutting back inside. I don't think too many people, as you're watching the Bills game here, is just running between the tackles, strictly straight through the tackles. That's just...
Well, I don't think it's a numbers problem because Aaron Rodgers said it wasn't. He said they're playing two safeties deep on us, so it's a softer box, and we still can't run the ball effectively.
Yeah.
So what's that all about?
I don't think they've tried enough.
They haven't gone three tight ends very often either.
Not only three tight ends. We talked about four tight ends. They've only went four tight ends once, I think.
I mean, I guess the thought that if they were to show three tight ends, then they bring a safety down.
That's the biggest disappointment or biggest confusion I've had so far is they brought in Jonnu and the Friars, Vermouth and the Darnell, not for the fact that they can run, block, and catch and whatever, but they create different matchup issues, right? You put those three guys in.
I was going to say in theory.
Yeah, in theory they have matchup, but we haven't seen that because they haven't been on the field a lot together. I think their most used formation has been with the two tight ends. I think they got 40. I looked this up today, 40 or 50 plays with the two tight end sets.
Mark, you like to talk about covering high school football, and if you had that one great offensive lineman and you had a Chirpak or somebody like that,
Lucas Nix,
just line up and run the ball behind the guy like 100 times in a game and make him stop it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's like an exaggeration, but who's the offensive lineman that the Steelers would even want to run behind? Like, who's the Alan Faneca that you say, you know what, we want this guy to be our lead blocker on running plays, ideally, in a perfect world?
Right now? Probably have to be Fotanu.
He didn't look good against Seattle. I thought he played a bad game.
Thought he was the worst of the two tackles, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think McCormick has an opportunity to be there because he has that half.
I kind of wanted you to say Amalu because he's the highest paid guy and the most veteran guy, and you are dancing around
that.
Well,
that's because he struggled really a lot last week. If you look.
Well, that is kind of alarming. He's the most well compensated and veteran person there.
But
he came
in with a soft tissue injury. I don't think he's the player he once was.
Yeah, probably not. I just don't see you lining up and him dominating games. I think Frazier is a center. You rarely see guys be have that opportunity to just dominate games. Maybe the best of the best that were able to do that, the Dawsons and the Pounceys at times. But you're mostly looking, if you're looking for somebody to run behind, it's usually the tackles.
Mark, right? Globally speaking right now.
And you're not saying Broderick Jones, by the way,
well,
Mark.
I'll put it this way. Broderick Jones at least took a step forward and not a step back.
I thought he was better in pass protection.
Wouldn't you take that now?
Yes, I would. And I thought on one particular run play where I think Warren got like 9 yards, he kicked out his man and looked like he did exactly what he was supposed to do on the play. And neither here nor there. Globally, we started this 2 minutes ago with Pony saying, Mark, when are they going to like run the ball effectively? And nothing you said, and it was your opinion. I'm not saying you were like factually inaccurate or anything. Nothing you said in the intervening 120 seconds made me feel like they were going, that you believe they are anywhere close to having a breakthrough in the running game. Nothing.
Yeah.
In New England's good up front, they've stopped the run.
Pony, I'm starting to come around to your, like, it is a grim, bleak Friday. I said all that in Mark's response.
The only thing I could think of is you just go back on the past couple of years where that offensive line has progressively gotten better. Maybe not so much last year that was maybe
2 years
Haley's
ago.
2 years ago. So if you look at that, you still got extremely young guys on that offensive line. I mean, one of the more veteran guys, your buddy Broderick Jones, and he's like 23 years old, right?
Mark, how much of it is the development of these guys? Like, I think about when they had John Mitchell and the way he would make defensive linemen better.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mike Munchak did that with offensive linemen. I don't see the development from these guys that play in the trenches for them anymore.
That could be back to the college game, too. You don't really have many college offensive line.
Okay, but
how's
Philly developed their offensive line and defensive line then?
Like Dickerson,
how do they do it?
Dickerson came straight out of college and looked pretty good right away.
Wasn't Dickerson the one? Wasn't he?
How about Mailata? He was a seventh round pick who played in Australia.
He was their
Villanueva.
Yes. But wasn't Dickerson, didn't he have some knee injuries?
He did. He had a knee issue.
So that he was probably better.
Well, the
than
Steelers have no, but the Steelers haven't been very shy about drafting guys with injury histories. That's why they took.
Also,
Peyton
they've
Wilson.
Been using first round picks on guys, so it's not a pedigree problem. They're getting talented guys in theory.
I just don't think that they're pro ready right away, and it normally takes a couple years for those guys to really find their footing. It's just the position.
So then in that case, they basically have two rookie tackles because Broderick Jones is playing the position for the first time.
Yeah, and plus they got a division, an FCS guard and a older other guard and a
somewhat undersized center, but you said before the season, I'm optimistic about this offensive line. What the heck happened?
I do like the pedigree, and I think they will continue to get better here. I'm not ready to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
You sound like you are. You're saying they'll get better.
Maybe right now,
from an F to an F plus.
It's not going to get better anytime soon.
Oh, great!
But maybe halfway through the season, 41-year-old
quarterback. That's a real uplifting comment to make.
But he's tough, right?
Yeah, and he's sturdy.
Well, when he gets hit in certain situations, that's a lot more acceptable than getting hit in other situations.
He can get hit on third downs.
Now that we're on the topic of him, why did Rodgers give such a weird answer about the McAfee question on Wednesday? Do you know the backstory there?
Well, probably who asked it, but I'm just
He's not Mike Tomlin. He gives Brooke okay answers. Like,
now, the look on his face was like, yeah, right, I'm going to go there.
Why is that such a touchy subject, though?
Well, I think he just doesn't want, because he knows it's national news if he says something.
Okay.
I just don't think he wants to make any waves whatsoever.
So is that your theory on why he's not doing it?
I don't know why he's not doing it, but obviously he's not doing it, because if he was doing it, he would have done it already.
He would have done it by now.
But I just don't. I know it's not an organizational thing.
Really?
I
kind of felt like it was. Like they would prefer for him to not do it.
They would never tell. Because first of all, the organization, Tomlin, Arthur.
They all go on there.
They love him as well. So there's no way it's an organizational decision. I would just make the assumption.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a Aaron Rodgers decision. Him just continuously reading the room of what he should and should not do. And I think he felt that there was more negative out of it than positive.
Mark, you have been, I would say, pretty dark cloud here on some of these topics. I have a YouTube commenter's question I want to ask you coming up next it's a real comment.
Has this person already
question.
Admitted to have they started drinking during the
no.
PM team tailgate?
No, this person flat out said it's a question that they really wanted Mark to answer, and I think given the way that our conversation with Mark has gone of late, it's a good one to ask.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Coming up next hour, we're going to be joined by a former Patriot tight end with local connections at 5:15, and it's not Dorn. Charlie has a headline, and we'll be right back. It's the PM team.
And that Caleb Johnson returns.
Probably not in the short term. I'm certainly going to give him an opportunity to work his way back from that era. I believe in his talent. He's a sharp young man. He's a hard worker. And so you leave the light on for him, you give him an opportunity to move on from it. But he has to do that. He has to display that with his daily work, and he's going to earn himself back in the position to be a participant. And we'll see where the roads lead us. I'm open to it, certainly.
Mike Tomlin on Caleb Johnson, Steelers and Patriots. The Steelers are 1-1 because Caleb Johnson had an unbelievable brain fart on a kick return. The Patriots are 1-1 because after a Miami Dolphins punt return for a touchdown, on the ensuing kickoff, Antonio Gibson took it back 90 yards for a touchdown. That was the first time since 1992 in a game a punt return had gone for a touchdown, and then the very next play was a kickoff return for a touchdown. Now, Mark Cabali in studio with us on the Pat McAfee Show. If you think about it, great punt return men and kick return men from the 90s. If you had to guess who the punt returner was who took it to the house, and then who the kick return man who took it to the house was, who would you go with?
What was the guy's name from Kansas City?
Dante Hall.
There you go, Dante Hall.
And then who's the punt returner?
I would have no clue.
Malzy, do you know the answer to this?
Am I even half right?
You haven't seen it?
Am I half right?
I haven't.
Okay.
Restate the thesis. Restate it again.
It's the first time since 1992 in a game,
yes,
a punt return went for a touchdown, and then the very next play was a kickoff return for a touchdown. That's what happened in Patriots-Dolphins.
No, I got you. Okay. A punt return gets housed, then a kick return.
It happened in 1992. Okay, who returned the punt and who returned the kickoff?
I think Dion returned the punt.
Okay.
It wouldn't be Dante Hall.
No, because it's way, yeah, I didn't hear the 1990. I was like.
Yeah.
Dion's right.
Dion returned the punt.
The Dion part is right.
Okay, and he would have been on the Falcons still back then.
This is actually a pretty
good. Vi Sikkehemma. Is that right?
No.
Well, because I thought it could have been like an NFC West game, and that would have been Vi Sikkehemma on the Cardinals. No?
Vi, he also played for the Eagles, right?
He did. Desmond Howard is the kickoff return man.
Okay. Why'd you laugh at Vi Sikkehemma? He was a great kick returner.
I know, it just to me is a very Malzy answer.
And then he would punch the
goalposts.
Better
yet is he thought he had it right.
Well, the way he reacted, I thought he was going to do the, would you get out of here, Malzy? You got that right.
Mark, Malzy is the king of when things like that come up. Even after he gets the question right, if there's more right answers, he keeps trying to tell you who the extra right answers are.
Oh, no, but I openly admit that I do that. And at this point now, it makes people so mad that I do it on purpose. Mark, I did tease this, and I want to pay off the radio tease here. So we had a question. I think it was from Josh way back when you started up with us 45 minutes ago. And he basically just, the premise of the question was this. You know, Mark, what do you think that locker room will be like if they lose this weekend, then go to Ireland and lose, which I think we all agree is at least somewhat plausible, if not likely. This person's hypothesis was, I'm already seeing some cracks. What would it do to them if they actually started 1-3 from a team unity standpoint? They want the Kabali, the kaboom in the room take here.
Well, I don't see it because I think they pretty much rid themselves of the majority of those people in that locker room that would create that.
George Pickens, Najee Harris.
Yeah, I mean, you know them all. That would be able to, Deontay Johnson, right? You can go on and on and on. So I don't know who would be that guy that can do it. You would say that the guy in the clubhouse, or not in the clubhouse, the guy that started off on the old pole position there, right? I'm trying to get my.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It would be Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, that doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Last year it was, there were some cracks near the end of the season. Didn't have to do with those guys, but I think a lot of that had to do with some of the Minka / new guys of Elliott,
Russell Wilson
and stuff like that. Russell Wilson, they just never took him seriously. They took him they took him seriously.
What a line.
Cam, let's win four. Win the four.
I mean,
win four.
It was great at the beginning. Then by midseason, it's like, dude, really?
I mean, Russ strikes me as the ultimate front runner. If he's playing really well, you can deal with the cornball stuff. The second it goes south, it goes like south. It nosedives, man.
Yeah. I mean, when you
saying to Cam, let's win four after he blew
Cam's
the game.
Sick as a dog and
Cam's got like a 103 fever, like playing through a lot. That is one of the cringiest on-field things I have ever seen in my life.
And that was your guy, Mark. You were a Russell Wilson guy.
I still think he's, I mean, you can still say he's not a bad quarterback.
He's on the verge of getting benched. He saved himself for an extra week with 450. And
was that the time Cam Hayward had explosive diarrhea?
Yeah, that was against the Bengals in Week 18.
He's as Pony said, sick as a dog, and here comes Russ, fresh off of like kind of blowing the game in the 2-minute drill to just tell him, let's win four, Cam, let's win four.
I've talked to a lot of people saying what difference between Russ and Aaron, and obviously they don't want to go on the record, but just a look on their face is like, yeah, really?
Well, I've said this, and I was a guy who was a little critical of Rodgers, didn't know what they were getting into. He is an actual, authentic football guy whose team, when he talks about his teammates and his coaches and the relationships he's building, it actually sounds real. That's the difference.
Mark, we have gotten a lot of questions about the way the defense works, and it's all Tomlin. But why is it like this, where you have a defensive coordinator who just answers to Mike Tomlin, and he can't bring in a defensive coordinator who calls the plays?
I think
and
he
runs
does
the defense.
Call the plays. I just don't think he is solely responsible of the scheme leading up to that day.
So what you think on game day, Terrell Austin does call the plays?
I think there will be times where Tom interjects and say, do this, this, and that. But I think they sit in a room on Tuesday, their big scheme day, and say, how do we want to attack this? And I think the number one voice in that room would be the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm sure there's a lot of give and take. I mean, they got some what they call good football minds with Dunbar and Austin and stuff. That they get.
Name one other guy.
Wow. I was thinking, but they got rid of them all.
Yeah, they got rid of all those guys.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, it
for
sounds like he's more on game day, though, at the end of the day. He might have a role. We saw in Hard Knocks, you know, they showed him running the meeting, and Tomlin's sitting in the back kind of with Minka or whatever. Sounds like more than anything, though, on game day, he still is a kind of a vessel.
He's a middleman.
For communication. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's hooked up to everybody's headset, so if he wants you to blitz on a certain play or if he wants you to play a certain coverage on a certain play, he obviously has the right and uses that right to make that call.
Back to Caleb Johnson. Do you think we see him in the Steelers' offense against the Patriots?
Yeah, I think he'll.
So he's not getting completely sent to the doghouse.
He's not going to get. I don't believe he's going to get benched. Although you would have to bring up a guy like Trey Sermon, and I don't think they've made any announcements yet. To me, it looks like they would keep him as that same rotation of running backs as behind Gainwell and Warren. Then they would just totally remove him from kick return. I mean,
who's going to return kicks then?
Well, obviously, they go with two now, which is the new rule. And the only other one I saw that has some history of doing it was Jalen Warren.
So Jalen Warren and Gainwell then?
I would assume.
Again, I just don't understand why Scotty Miller wouldn't get like a look.
I don't know if he has. I've never really looked that up. Has he ever had any?
Yeah, he has.
Yes.
He's another guy where he gets talked up by his teammates and by the coaches all summer, and then the games actually happen, and he just stands on the sideline and eats sunflower seeds the whole game.
Number 10, too, man. What has he done so far?
And you were hearing good things about him right before the season started, Mark.
Yeah. I mean, but we do have to calm it down a little bit and just say it is two games. It is two games. It wasn't a pretty two games. But in the bottom line,
it's more that it's a continuation, though, especially on defense.
Yeah, especially.
I'm tired. I get tired of that. But I'm talking about you hear a lot of Aaron Rodgers only averaging 4.5 yards per attempt. One of the worst.
I have no real issues
stinks.
With him.
But
I have
you know
no
what?
True issues with his play. Like I think he's been okay. He's been fine, better than fine. In
he
the first
threw
game.
That pass to Freiermuth, who would have caught that pass.
Pat's got
all of a sudden. All of a sudden that. All of a sudden, that 4.5 per
I agree
goes up significantly.
Pat knew he had to have that catch.
Make that catch.
He was broken up about it right then. And that Mark even more tangibly than
throw.
That it was an all time throw already this year. It was one of the better throws I've seen a quarterback for this team make in a very long time. You remember the one that Fields made in Denver that got called back to Pickens? It was better than that one.
Broderick Jones 19 penalties on that drive.
Why don't we stop talking about that? But like that also more tangibly. Forget about his yards per attempt, Mark. It also probably turns what ended up being a field goal drive into a touchdown drive because they would have been down inside the 10, I think, or right around the 10. Then you're set up shop, man.
Who would you rather have at left tackle, James Hudson or Broderick Jones?
I think Jones is getting better.
I'll take Broderick Jones. James Hudson had, I think, four penalties on one series.
Was it four plays?
Yeah, four plays in a row.
How's Dan Moore Jr. doing?
I don't know, but his bank account's pretty big.
He was lower rated than Jones, I know, in week one.
Let's check our trusted friends over at PFF to tell us what they think of Dan Moore.
I got to say about Dan Moore is he's $82 million richer.
Oh, okay, cool.
If I'm Dan Moore, I don't really care at that point.
All right, Dan Moore Jr.,
better grade
are you ready?
Than Jones, 53.8. I just looked it up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's lighting it up for $80 million.
Wow, not, wait. All of a sudden we take PFF grades.
I just wanted
seriously.
To see what it was.
We use PFF grades as a narrative tool to advance the conversation, Mark.
Mark, your pick for Steelers and Patriots.
I just think this defense is can't play any worse.
What I say, Chris?
I do think they
did. Did I not call this all week?
I just don't think it can be.
I tell you on Wednesday.
I said that last week, too, though, so you see where I was.
I know.
So why didn't you learn your lesson? They were objectively worse when it mattered.
People can't help themselves who are around the team. Jeff,
I just think that I don't know, maybe because we've seen it so much, maybe in not very strenuous situations like training camp and practices and how good they look at times.
The YouTube commenters are loving you right now, saying, tell him, Mark, calm down, everybody. Kabali is keeping it 100.
All right, Kabali,
I'm just saying it's two games, man. That's all I say. You just, I mean, last week at this time, we were, you know, kissing their rear ends.
Let's have a score. Let's have a score and a team MVP.
I think they're going to win this game. It's going to be 24-17.
Okay, who's the star of the game?
Star of the game.
Corliss.
I'll go defensively for some reason. Let's think who's a good defensive player.
Not many right now. Might have to think for a while. We get a Cam Hayward finally gets it really going game?
I'm going to do a Darius Slay. Boy, you talking
about
a deep
dive. Better hope the Patriots don't run deep crossers then.
Yeah, was that a force? You know, I've known people to force swear on purpose just for making a point.
Yeah, that was that.
That seemed like that was in his bag of what to say.
Who, Terrell?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it apparently
I don't think it was Art well
Rooney,
received by
Art
one
Rooney
person.
Art Rooney didn't apparently like that very much.
I didn't hear this one.
Pony, I think, heard it through his expansive grapevine network. That would be the most on-brand thing in history
now,
for Art to get mad about.
Now, if he would have came in and wore
eye black with it on there. Like George. All right, well, if people are talking tough on YouTube, here's the telephone number to call in next segment, 412-928-9370. Should we relax on the Steelers and say it's only two games, or do you think that this is only going to get worse? 412-928-9370. Also, next hour, we're going to be joined by a former Patriot tight end with local connections. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. Mark, thanks for coming in. Enjoy Foxborough.
All righty.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.